The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to the holiday version of Dark Side of the Pooch. He is Dr. Rab Stewart, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, joins us every single week. And of course, this will be our last show for 2023. Looking forward to a prosperous and wonderful 2024. And of course, a very healthy pooch and kitty cat to you and yours. Hope you had a fantastic Christmas. We got New Year's Eve coming right around the corner. What's going on there at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital? Anything exciting and fun and intriguing over the holidays you want to share with us?
Since our last show, you know, we always have interesting things that we take out of dogs' GI tracts. You know, everyone is always interested in what comes out of GI tracts. So I have two things. One was a surgery, and then the other one was not a surgery. The dog gave it to us willingly. But so the first one was this puppy, about a year old, a golden retriever, and it ate four hickory nuts from their yard, four large hickory nuts. I mean, they were about 2 inches, two inches long by 1.5 inch wide, and ate four of them. And the dog came in still really energetic, but it was just puking its guts out every time it, you know, ate or drank. And took some x-rays and you could tell it just wasn't quite right. And you when you go in and do a surgery like that, you never know if you're going to find something. The x-rays don't tell you 100% if there's something there, but the x-rays are just suggestive. And then the history of the owner was a little suggestive. And so you make your incision and you say a prayer and you hope you find something. And in this case, we found four hickory nuts. We had to make an incision into the stomach. We got three out there. And then one had kind of left the stomach and it was in the small intestine. So you make another incision in the small intestine and you take that one out and you close everything up. And then it's up to the dog at that point to heal. But then we had a boarder dog that was boarding. And we went in that morning and the kennel staff, you know, went in as they always do. They're cleaning stuff up. And the dog had pooped out a pair of ladies' underwear intact. So,
yeah, we've had that happen before here in Dark Side of the Pooch.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just the fun things that you see and do.
So the nuts. Cause man, it's amazing how much, dogs love those acorns. I mean, they'll sit out there and once they find out that they're actually kind of tasty little morsel, they'll get after it. So these particular nuts, they couldn't pass these nuts. And of course you mentioned the size of them. They sound really, really large, but there's no way those would have been passed.
They would not have been passed. Three of them, like, you know, like I said, one of them was in the small intestine. Three of them were so big that I don't know if they could ever actually leave the stomach.
Yeah.
So they kind of just rolled around in the stomach, but one was small enough where it made it through, but it was, that nut was not small enough where it was going to make it through, the cecum, you know, like the ileocecal junction where the ileum turns into the cecum, which then turns into the colon.
Gotcha.
There's no way it would have made it through there. And so when you get something stuck in the stomach, it's not really life threatening as long as it stays there. Mm-hmm. But when you get something in the small intestine and it's stuck in there, that's life threatening, because nothing can pass through and the blood supply will be compromised. And when the blood supply is compromised, the tissue will die and then the intestines will leak and you'll get peritonitis. They'll get peritonitis and eventually they'll die from it.
That's that sounds horrible. Thank goodness we have Dr. Rab Stewart to find that out. And again, you said you could see that or you could not see those in the x-rays. You knew there were four of them in there.
You could see that the stomach was too big. The stomach was big and it was full of air. Yep. So that air was trapped and it wasn't leaving. So there was something there that was keeping the air from leaving the stomach. And since there was so much air, you could see a little circle that was highlighted and that, you know, looked like one of the nuts. But when you're looking at an x-ray, there's lots of things in the abdomen that can overlap and kind of create things that aren't there.
Recording in progress.
So let me ask you this. As an owner, then, you know, your dog loves these nuts. What's to keep that dog from eating four more nuts?
We had that conversation with them and they were willing to go to whatever degree they needed to. I mean, the great, great young couple, and they love this dog so much. And they said, I mean, should we cut down the tree? Cause we're prepared to cut down the tree and get rid of all the nuts. What do you think we should do? And I said, well, that, you know, obviously that's the way to get it done, so you never have to worry about it again. But we've had clients that have had multiple surgeries for GI obstruction in a single pet. And it's varied from rocks to clothing to dog toys. And so finally we told this guy, he's a friend of mine. We told him, you need to make your dog wear a basket muzzle all the time.
Oh, wow.
Because you can't put everything away all the time. And the basket muzzle, it still allows them to open up their mouth and pant. They can still bark. I mean, they can pretty much do all the things that they want to do. They can even drink. Yeah. They can't really eat with it on. But it had gotten to a point where the dog had had so many GI surgeries that the dog was starting to form adhesions. And so what that means is loops of intestines were kind of grabbing onto other loops of intestines, and then those were leading to obstructions. Mm. So if this is a piece of small intestine and this is a piece of small intestine right here, and if you make an incision in one of them, let's say we made an incision in this one,
yeah,
they're in the intestine, and eventually they can lay on top of each other and they'll fuse. Mm-hmm. And so that can make it so that food doesn't pass through very well. And that's what was happening in this dog. And I told the guy, I said, if we have to do another one of these surgeries on your dog, I don't know if it's going to live.
Wow. That's crazy. You never know what you're going to hear here on Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there in beautiful Homewood. Of course, Seth Cosby, he runs that place. A brand new toy store opened up back in October. All kinds of great comics from the 60s, 70s, 80s and up. And of course, anything that's still in the box when it comes to toys, you find stuff up in your attic. They got everything from Battlestar Galactica, Star Trek, anything, Legos, you name it. They've got some killer toys. Check out the wonderful Sasquatch Toys and Comics right there. And of course, you can call Dr. Rab Stewart anytime at 208-0301, rossbridgevet.com. And wherever you get your favorite podcast, you can find info at tonycurryradio.net and Dark Side of the Pooch. I do have a little bit of an update on my dog situation. And it's really kind of driving me crazy. I had mentioned the fact that my dog had urinated on my recliner a couple of times. And this is after the dog had been in the house for a year, had no issues, had no urine issues at all, wasn't dropping any gifts for daddy, whatever. I'd leave the house for 2 or 3 hours. I'd come back. He'd tear up the blinds. He may chew a shoe occasionally, but for the most part, wasn't wrecking the place. And then all of a sudden I realized that this dog is starting to urinate on my recliner. And I take that very personally. And I gotta be honest with you. It hurt my feelings. You know, I look after my dogs. I mean, I do take care of my dogs, and I don't baby my dogs. They are dogs. I don't allow them up on their furniture, and they're not allowed to sleep in bed with me, but I do take care of my animals, and I do consider them part of the family. But it really pissed me off because this is a personal situation. You know, if he had peed in the corner or dropped a couple of nuggets somewhere in the kitchen, I get it. You can't hold it. But the fact that he did it on my chair tells me that this was a direct shot across the bowel at daddy. And so he did that. And so I got this mechanical dog. I mentioned it's one of these things that it was a Halloween dog. It was like a skeleton dog, and it scares the bejeebers out of him. He hates this thing. And so I put it right there in the corner of my chair, knowing that if he got near it, it was going to be censored. It would go off. It would scare him away, and he would leave my chair. And it worked for about a week and a half. And then I thought, do I want to have this skeleton dog, you know, sitting in my house from here on out? And so I let him back out again. Then about the third day, we had the issue again. So I started putting up in the bathroom. You were telling me that as long as you know that he's not having some type of urinary tract infection, a UTI or something, and I certainly need to bring him in to make sure that's not an issue. Because if it's something where he just can't hold his pee, the problem is if that was the case, he wouldn't be able to shoot it right at my recliner. He would be peeing somewhere else in the house because he would not be able to hold it. And chances are it would be near the door, which is where he sits to go outside, right? So we're sitting home on Christmas morning. I'm with my three kids, and I bought one of my kids these little radio control. They're like little bumper cars, and obviously dogs hate RC cars. And while we're in the kitchen playing with these RC cars, he's taking a leak on my recliner in the other room while I'm in the kitchen.
I walked in there and he's got the leg up and I catch him with the leg up. And I mean, I just couldn't believe it. It was like he knew exactly. I can imagine this is what it's like when you have a 16-year-old and you're like, you take their phone away from them, you ground them, you don't know what else to do, and they just don't get it, and they just keep flying in your face in spite of yourself. And so, you know, I had to put him back up in the bathroom this morning. But, I mean, I was like, what are you doing, man? I mean, am I missing something here?
Put a diaper on him, like legitimately get a human diaper. And instead of putting it between his legs, like you would a baby, you put it in front of his legs over the top of his back and use some duct tape to fasten it over his back. And then so that way the diaper is cupping his manhood. And if he does pee, the diaper is going to catch it.
Wow, that's, you know, I mean, I'll do what I have to do.
Or you could euthanize him.
It's just so bizarre because this is probably the best dog I've ever had. It's the smartest dog I've ever had. He's sitting behind me right now. He comes in my studio with me. I mean, and I allow him to come in my studio with me. I don't normally let my dogs come in the studios. He comes in, we're buddies. And whenever I go to the store for 5 or 10 minutes, he hops in the car with me. If we're in the car for 2 or 3 hours, or I'm on a road trip, he goes with me everywhere I go. My son's even called me a dog. He said something the other day that kind of hurt my feelings. I'm getting my feelings hurt a lot. He's like, you're turning into one of those dog guys. And I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you're turning into one of those dog people. One of those people that can't go anywhere without bringing their dog. I said, no. I said, I'm just doing that because I don't want him tearing up the house. He's like, no, Dad, you're turning into one of those dog guys where you take your dog everywhere you go. And I said, no, I'm not. So, I mean, that's how much I love this animal. And then he's urinating on my chair. I'm just kind of like, and again, we've already been through a move. You know, the kids come and go every 7 days. Nothing's really changed from your routine standpoint. And all of a sudden, a year into the move, all of a sudden he starts taking a leak on my recliner. And I'm just like, I don't get it. I can't figure it out. It's driving me crazy.
Yeah. If he's making it through the night, or if when you put him up and he's not peeing at all, it's not a medical condition. So,
well, he's waking me up every night around 1:30. I go to bed around 9:30. And, so he's up there and he's kind of these little murmur barks, not outright bark, but just kind of just enough to wake me up. And then I'll yell at him, shut up, be quiet in there. And then maybe he'll make it till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And I realize my hours are kind of screwed up anyway, cause I usually get up at 4:15, but recently I've been getting up over the holidays. I've been getting up with him at 1 or 1:30 because of the holidays, and I've got my kids. And so I've kind of thrown his schedule off a little bit, I guess. So now he thinks we're getting up at 1 o'clock in the morning, which we're not. And so when I went in there this morning, there were some wet spots on the floor in the bathroom. But I couldn't tell you if it was drool or whether he leaked a little bit or he got into the toilet. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if there's any, yeah, you can put like a white cloth down. If it's yellow at all, it's, you know, it's pee. Don't, you know.
Yeah. I'm trying to.
Don't slip and fall.
I'm trying to talk myself into believing this dog is, you know, like a human being, that he understands, you know, what I'm going through. And it's just one of these things where we just keep butting heads. And I'm like, listen, I'm not going to lose this fight. It is just like having a child. You know, you've told your kid over and over and over again, don't do that. Don't do that again. You take the car keys away, you take their cell phones away, and they keep doing it. And to the point where, and thank goodness, knock on wood, I have not had an issue with any of my three kids that have come to that. But I'm kind of like, what is wrong with you? And when you're dealing with an animal that you can't sit and have a conversation with, and you're not sure if it understands why you're doing. Now, when I caught him hiking his leg on my chair, you know, I grabbed him by the back of the neck. And, you know, said no. And I put him outside, and I don't know if that's changed anything or not, but he's got to know what he's doing is wrong. He knows what he's doing.
He might have a urinary tract infection. Bring in the urine sample and we'll check it.
All right. I think that's the next thing I do. You know,
I think you have to,
it's kind of like when I spanked my special needs son for the first time.
And I was at my wit's end. I didn't know what else to do. And I gave him a good paddling, and it was the worst thing I'd ever done in my life, because he did not understand why I did what I did. And you don't want to talk about a heartbreaker. And that was the first time and the last time I'll ever do it. I apologize for it. And, you know, it's not like I wore a skin out or anything. It was more of a thing I wanted to scare him. But yeah, because it would be horrible to know that my dog is having a urinary tract infection or something like that. And I'm yelling at him because he can't keep his pee in the house. And I'm like, I'm just not letting him out when he wants to go out. So
you wouldn't be the first person or the last person to do that. Because at first, I think the default is to think, oh, they're just lashing out, or this is some kind of behavior that, you know, we just got to figure this out and they got to get over it. So you're not the first person.
How common are UTIs or urinary tract infections for dogs? Like, he's six.
We see it all. We see one almost every day.
Okay. So it's pretty common.
Yeah. Yeah. And
the other thing that is, and I'll tell you this, and I may be screwing things up, I have not been keeping them hydrated like I normally do. I usually keep a bowl of water out. I know you've said, listen, you can pull the water up, because if they don't drink, they're not going to pee. And so I moved there. See, now I feel like I'm going to therapy, because I stopped feeding them twice a day. I started feeding them once a day in the afternoon, and they're getting water twice a day, and that's it. And so I've thrown that routine off a little bit. So I think there's probably a couple of reasons why he's pissed off at me. Now that I think about it.
Well, yeah, you know, you locked your dog in a dungeon and didn't give it food or water.
Well, I don't know. So talk about a little bit, since we're talking about psychology and therapy a little bit. This is a really tough time of the year, I would think, for dogs and key cats. There's a lot of people coming and going. Hours are all messed up. There are people taking days off work. There are people traveling. They're boarding animals. They're moving the kennel from one side of the room to the other side of the room because Aunt May's in town for a few days. Can you just talk about what it's like for an animal to go through the holiday season?
My dog was alone all Christmas Day, and I'm sure that he was not very happy with me.
Yeah.
But We got up and we went to my in-laws' house, you know, at the crack of dawn. Basically, kids open their presents and we're out the door at 8:30, and then I didn't get back home till 5:30. So I was really surprised when I didn't come home to find a puddle of pee or a pile of poop anywhere in the house. So he was a good boy. But for people that, even if you don't, if you have an anxious dog, then I think times like this really send it, you know, when to overdrive. But I think if you don't have a dog that's anxious, you know, normally, I think these times can really throw them through a loop, because there's, like I said, there's new people coming over. Things are moved around in the house. My dog does not like when things are moved around.
Yeah.
If the furniture moves, we put the Christmas tree up, there's presents under the tree. We have to move his bed, and he just in general seems like he just cannot get comfortable because he knows that something's up. And he also does the same thing if we're going out of town. When the suitcases come out, he will not leave. He will not leave our side. He's pacing through the house constantly. So that's, you know, it's just something that they have to deal with. And we get anxious too. You know, we get anxious too. And so it may manifest in us in similar ways. So as long as they're not hurting themselves or demolishing things in the house, you just have to understand what the behavior looks like, recognize it when you see it, kind of sympathize with them, give them a little more attention, maybe let them know it's going to be okay. But for the dogs that really kind of hurt themselves or hurt, you know, destroy things around the house, that's when, you know, you maybe need to intervene with some type of treatment.
Yeah. Because, you know, the first thing I think of is, can I hang with this dog longer than I, and again, I see this dog every single day. I mean, I spend a lot of time with my dog, particularly when I'm working from my office, when I don't have my kids, I rarely leave the house. I have no reason to leave. And so I think he gets used to that. And then on top of that, I'm thinking to myself, okay, maybe I'm not, am I walking him enough? Am I spending enough time knowing that when I do start these new regimens or these new routines, or maybe I'll start walking him 2 or 3 days a week, then he's going to expect that. So I may be starting some new routine that I can't keep up with. And I can't keep it the same from week to week. And I'm doing him a disservice by starting these new things when I can't do it regularly. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, I think you have a high maintenance dog.
Do I?
I think Rainer is a high maintenance dog.
Yeah. It's just bizarre though, because, you know, for a year I have not had any issues. I mean, I have had zero issues. This dog has been perfect. I mean, I just cannot get over seriously. And I can't analogize this enough. This is having the 16-year-old with straight A's, you know, for a whole year. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. And all of a sudden you find, you know, a bag of weed in the bathroom drawer and they're hanging out with the floozy at school and they're skipping school. And you're like, what just happened here? I mean, this kid was brilliant. He was a perfect kid. And all of a sudden out of the blue, and it's like, do you not understand what you're doing wrong? And they're looking at me like, no. And it's like, I just don't get it.
Have you talked to Rainer about his friends? You talked to him about his friend choices?
You know what? I'm starting to think that maybe it has to do with his brother, because his brother's been skating pretty good. And that dog's the one that pees all over the house. But again, I kenneled that dog up. So that dog doesn't have any problems. So I don't know.
All right, Wouldn't it be funny if it was somehow Frisco and Frisco was framing him?
You know what? I thought for a while he was. And the only way I know it's not him, first of all, I caught him in the act finally.
Yeah.
And second of all, there's no way that little Havanese can hike his leg that high. I mean, he'd have to go standing up is the only way he could get it that high on my recliner. And I'm like,
lay on his back, whale.
And therapeutically speaking, psychologically speaking, you know, it took me back to Freddy Dog. And you know my story with Freddy Dog. I mean, this is a dog that pooped in my recliner. This is a dog that pooped in my bed. I mean, it didn't poop on my wife's side. It didn't poop anywhere in the house. It went in my bed and pooped on my pillow. And knowing
hey, that's Rainer's where I neutered. Rainer's neutered, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I felt pretty sure that he was.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll bring him in next week because, you know, I would feel horrible as a parent if I was sitting there trying to you know, reconvene on this animal and try to do the right thing for it and then realize that it's been sick the entire time and I've been not giving it water or not feeding it correctly. We're just having a fight, you know?
We'll check him out. I mean, it's like, it'll be painless, quick and easy.
All right. Interesting. A Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics. We do it every single week. And of course, the Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there in beautiful Homewood. 50th anniversary of Ed's Pet World, whether it's exotic pets, sugar gliders, you name it. I've got my guinea pigs down there. I get all my fish down there. Ed, of course, the past Ed was unbelievable, ran a wonderful thing. And now Seth is doing just a fantastic job at Ed's Pet World. Fantastic stuff. Tell people how they can find you, my friend, and get ready for 2024.
You can call us at 208-0301. You can find us on Facebook, Rossbridge Animal Hospital, or you can email us at rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.